Appreciated that devotion. Brought a, not to be adding to it, but brought a verse to my mind, Isaiah 35, verse 8, I believe it's talking about the millennium, but a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And that is a verse that just came to our minds when Brother Charlie was doing his devotional. Again, we want to continue on how to study the scriptures. We've been looking the last few weeks at having a proper method, and we've seen so far just some looking at some basic guidelines for a proper method. These are things that we need to always keep in mind as we study God's Word. First of all, the Bible interprets itself. The Bible is its own commentary. Scripture explains Scripture. You need to always remember that. Secondly, we've spent 2 weeks, I believe, Scripture is to be taken literally. That doesn't mean that there are no figurative statements. But what it does mean is that figurative statements teach literal truth. The third guideline that we want to consider this morning is, and it's something we all know, but even knowing it, there is a tendency to forget it. And that is, chapter divisions are not natural divisions of thought. The examples are numerous. I believe people make a great error if in their reading they just stop at chapter divisions. Because, again, chapter divisions are not divisions of thought. And we miss much. That's one of the many problems I have with scheduled Bible reading, so many chapters a day, because you may stop in the middle of a thought, and that's not the place to stop. Many, if not most, allow chapter divisions to lead them into stopping in the middle of a subject matter. When you do that, you only interpret part of a thought. And when you take only a part of what somebody says, all the problems that can arise. Chapter and verse divisions are put there by the translators, and we're thankful for them because they are simply meant as locators. I mean, imagine reading the Bible without any chapter divisions, without any verses. It would be a very difficult book to read. But chapter divisions and verses are there for locators. It helps us to locate what we're looking for. And we need to always view them as such. Nothing more. Again, they're not divisions of thought. But we're to simply view them as a locator. That's how we need to view chapter divisions. It's important not to allow chapter divisions to interrupt the flow of context. Context, which we'll get to several weeks from now, is the flow of thought. And the Bible flows. There's a flow of thought. That's context. And if you allow chapter divisions to interrupt the flow, you're going to miss something. In order to prevent the interruption of context, we need to pay close attention to conjunctions. Need to place very close attention to connecting and joining words. Those are the most important words in the Bible. Words that connect. Words that join. They're little words. They're words that are usually read over without much thought. But that's how we stay within the bounds of context. By observing. Connecting words. And all through the Bible, we see chapters begin with connecting words, which show us, of course, that the thought of the previous chapter is being continued. So you don't want to stop there. You want to read on. And there are many examples, and we're going to look at these examples. One conjunction or connecting word is the word and. Very small word. Most people consider it a very insignificant word. I would argue the very opposite. The word and is a very significant word. The word and can be indicative of a list. The word and is a connecting word. It is used to indicate in addition to what has been previously said. So every time we see the word and, we ought to stop and see what it's connected to, because it's a connecting word. It's a word used to indicate consequence of something previously said. It's a word to give further explanation of something previously said. So wherever we see the word and we'll get into this more later, but wherever we see the word and, we need to stop. Don't read over that word. That's a very, very important word. And it is a word that will help you stay within the border of context. There's nothing more dangerous than someone pulling Scripture out of context, because you can make the Bible say just about anything by simply pulling it out of context. So we need to observe that word and. Now, there are several chapters. We'll just consider two of them, but there are several chapters that begin with the word and, which means there's a continuation of thought. There's an addition. There's a consequence, perhaps. There's a further explanation of what has been said. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And. So now we know there's a connection. There's a connection to what has gone on before. So it would be a mistake to stop our reading at verse 31. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." And he just continues on. The thought continues on. "For I determined," verse 3, "and," verse 4, "and," verse 5, "that," verse 6, "howbeit." These are all connecting words. So it's all going back to what he's previously said. Now, you'd have to go back and read chapter 1, but you can just go back to verse 29 of chapter 1, and his thought there was that no flesh should glory in his presence. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. The thought is, no flesh should glory in his presence. And I did not come in excellency of speech. Again, you see that it's flowing into the next chapter. It's only there as a locator, not as a division of thought. Chapter 3, verse 1. And, once again, verse begins with a connecting word. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unspiritual. And if you go back, you'll see the context of that. And another word that we need to look for at the beginning of a verse that shows continuation of thought is the word furthermore. And again, there's several verses that begin with the word furthermore. The word furthermore means exactly what it says, furthermore, or in addition. In addition to what? In addition to what I've already said, furthermore. So he's adding something to what he has said. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, these are words, again, I believe the most important words. But they're words that most people just read without any thought. And they're the words that keep us within the bounds, within the framework of context. I mean, you observe these words and you will not wander from context. Chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, that is, in addition to. Now, that would go back to chapter 3, but it goes immediately back to verse 13 of chapter 3. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Furthermore, in addition to, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. And then as you go on, you see another connecting word, for. Another connecting word, verse 3, for. Another connecting word, verse 4, that. So you see there's the flow of thought going into the next chapter. Another connecting word that we could look for would be the word then. Then. It is a word used to express order. It is a word used to express order. It could be order of time. Then this happened. Then this happened. It could be the order of position. It could be a word used to express consequence. It rained, then I got wet. That's the consequence of it raining or being out in the rain. So the word then, again, is a connecting word. It is a word that, again, the thought is still flowing. So if we see a chapter, again, wherever we read these words, and we'll look at this at another time, but wherever we see these words, we need to stop and we need to examine. But when we see these, right now we're just dealing with chapter divisions. When we see these words at the beginning of chapters, we know that there is not a division of thought. Notice Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Here we would have the word then used to express the order of time or the order of events. Chapter 4, verse 1 of Matthew, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, the careful reader will read Matthew 4, verse 1. Very first word, then. We ought to stop right there. We ought to stop right there. And we need to go back. You see, in the latter part of chapter 3 that Jesus has been baptized. Lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Then, that is immediately following. So we have the order of events. We have the order of time. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's a sentence. Sentence must have a subject. We see the subject here is the temptation of Jesus. Verse 2 says, and. So now we're going to continue with that subject. He's going to tell us more about that subject. In verse 3, and. In verse 4, but. In verse 5, then. In verse 6, and. And you see the thought, the subject is Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, and it's all those little words show the flow of thought. It gets under my skin when someone is preaching or talking and there's no flow of thought. That's very confusing. There has to be a flow of thought. And the Bible is beautiful. The Bible, like no other book, flows. There is a flow of thought. And if you notice conjunctions, if you notice connecting words, words that most people consider as insignificant, you see how it flows. And when it flows, it makes sense. It makes sense. I mean, there's no sense in reading something that doesn't make sense. And just observing these little words, again, keeps us within proper bounds. There's the word for, F-O-R, used to express a reason. Usually when we see the word for, the reason follows, the reason, of course, backing up to previous statements, the reason for something, for. It also expresses the grounds or the foundation of something. We see many verses or many chapters that begin with the word for, showing a continuation of thought. That is, now the writer is expressing a reason for a previous statement, or he is expressing the grounds of a previous statement. We need to train our eyes to look for these words. And if you get in the practice of looking for connecting words, I mean, when I read the Bible, as soon as I see one, I stop. It just happened. It's ingrained. And you'll get so much more out of the Scriptures when you just look for those little words. And after you get in the habit of doing it, you see them everywhere, because they are everywhere. And it takes a while to read the Bible when you see these words and, okay, I got to stop here and go back or go forward, whatever the word might be. Again, we'll look at all these more at a later date, but right now we're just interested in chapter division. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know, okay, expressing a reason for something previously said. Well, in the immediate context, I mean, it goes back to chapter 4, which takes us back to chapter 3, because chapter 4 begins with a connecting word. But the immediate context is, for in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For, that is, he's expressing a reason why we look for eternal things rather than temporal things. For we know that if our earthly house, which would be a temporal thing, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse 2, 4. And it just the thought is continuing from chapter 4. Notice in 2 Corinthians 7. And I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. We need to stick with the word 4. I was going to go to another word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. So we see, begins with 4, stating a reason. Verse 29 of chapter 1. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For, stating the reason or the grounds of previous statement. Another word, of course, is the word but. The word but conveys the same idea of the word yet. Same idea. It simply means, it can mean, on the other hand. You make a statement, you say, but, on the other hand. The word but can also mean notwithstanding. Notwithstanding something previously said. It can mean nevertheless. Again, always goes back to something previously said. Whether it's at the beginning of a chapter or whether it's in the middle of a verse. Always goes back to something previously said. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. And again, he continues his thought, as you see in the next verses. You see they all begin with connecting words. But again, it takes us back to chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, you should get the idea that chapter divisions, more often than not, are not divisions of thought. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. He's continuing a thought. The immediate context is a thought of the Lord's return. Very familiar verses there in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. Comfort one another with these words, considering the return of Christ. And then he continues his thought. But, notwithstanding, nevertheless, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need. And then he continues, the thought still continues in verse 2, 4, still continues in verse 3, still continues in verse 4, and on you can go. Follow the flow of thought. And the way you do that is just look for those little connecting words. The word though means in spite of the fact, or even if. Again, it's a connecting word, a joining word. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 begins with the word though. So there's a flow of thought. The most common is the word therefore. So many chapters begin with the word therefore. Again, it's been commonly said, if you see the word therefore, see what it's there for. And you need to do that. But the word therefore always states a reason or a consequence of something before. It always looks back. It is an application word. It is a word that is applying something previously said. But it states a reason. States a consequence. Book of Romans, like no other book, We find that word therefore at the beginning of chapters. Notice in Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable. He goes, you go back into chapter 1, he's talking about the sin of man. But his thought is continuing into chapter 2. Chapter 5, verse 1. He's been talking about justification. That's the flow of the thought. And then he says, therefore, being justified. So again, chapter 5 is not a division of thought. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is therefore. Been talking about justification by faith. He's showing the consequence of that. There is no condemnation. Again, the thought is continuing. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now he's beginning to make practical application to everything he said. Then verse that we were going to look at earlier, and we'll stop in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises. You read those words. The word therefore, again, is an important word. But therefore having these promises. How many people read those words and never stop and think, what promises? They just read on. He's referring to some promises that were previously made. And if you go back into chapter 6, beginning with verse 16, I count seven promises. He says in verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. That's a promise. I will walk in them. That's a promise. I will be their God. That's a promise. They shall be my people. That's a promise. Wherefore, it's a connecting word to the promises. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's a promise. And I will be a father unto you. That's a promise. And you shall be my sons and daughters. That's a promise. And then we come to verse 1, having therefore these promises. So automatically you ought to stop. See, it's going. If you're going to read the Bible correctly, it's a slow process. Because having therefore these promises, I've got to find out, well, what promises is he talking about? Don't just skip over that. The word therefore is a word that tells us stop. All these words that we've looked at are words that we need to view them as stop signs. Stop. Stop right there. But most people just read over those words. Never notice those words at all. And so much is missed, and they wander out of the box of context. And when you wander out of the box of context, that's the danger. People have what they call proof texts. They come up with a doctrine, they come up with an idea, and they find a verse and they apply it to their idea. That's called a proof text. The problem with that is 9 times out of 10, the proof text is lifted out of context and may not prove their point at all. So there's a great danger of wandering from context. I could give many examples of certain convictions that people have based upon verses that they have pulled here. It's like cherry picking. Here, here, here. This supports my conviction. It might not. You may have just, you pull from this tree, you pull from this tree. You may have wandered from context. So we need to be careful. And we're going to get more in context at a later date. Let's look to the Lord. More to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you.